Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for a glorious and wonderful day. We give you thanks for the opportunity to be in church, to be in worship as the body of Christ. May you open our hearts and minds as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, that we hear your message today, Lord, that you speak to our hearts and call us to be the light in the darkness. And all of God's people said, amen. So as you know, this is pinch hitting this morning, right? And so Dinah sent me her notes from this past week on her sermon, and so this is going to be a little mashup, little Dinah, little Frank sermon here. We'll see how it goes, right? So I pray everyone had a wonderful Christmas time and a happy new year and the opportunity to spend some time with family and to get some rest. And what I love about Spring Creek is it's always the next man up. You know, I think Spring Creek is the epitome of Bill Belichick's football strategy. You know, that's when Gil walked in the door this morning. I said, I need you, brother. And he said, okay. It wasn't just like, no, I can't do it. He's like, I'm sure. And that's who we are as a church, and that's what I love about Spring Creek. And so, Gil, thanks for stepping up this morning, brother. So there's this book called The Pastor, and it's written by Eugene Peterson. Many of you might know Eugene Peterson. He's also the author of the translation or the interpretation of the Message Bible, right? And in one of the chapters, it speaks about his first church that he started, right, where he was a pastor at. It was a church plant, not unlike Spring Creek 25 years ago, who was a church plant, right? But the church that Eugene talks about in this chapter, right, they met in his home basement. And he entitled them, they called themselves the Catacombs Presbyterian Church, right? And it was in the early years of this church where he had an epiphany and that he learned that the church is not a business to be franchised. And I'm going to say that again. The church is not a business to be franchised. It's with a mission to market spirituality to consumers, right? We are not on a mission to market spirituality to consumers. That really struck a nerve with me this morning when I read that from Dinah's notes, right? We are Spring Creek. We are the body of Christ, right? We're not about flashing lights and smoke machines in our Sunday morning worship services or fancy buildings or anything else, right? We're about spreading the gospel, the mission of God. We're not here to franchise anything, but spread the message of God's love and mercy and grace for all through the child Emmanuel, God with us, right? But every church has a story behind it. His did, ours does, right? And we all often think, who is the storyteller of the church? Is it the people? Is it the pastor? Is it the church council? Who tells the story of the church? Who tells the story of Spring Creek? Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not the pastor, and it's not the church council. It's you. You are the storytellers of Spring Creek. You're the storytellers of the gospel. We are called to be the light in the darkness wherever we go. You write the next chapter of this body of Christ. You hold the pen, and you are the author. So what will that chapter look like for Spring Creek in 2024? Right? I believe that we are a spirit-created community that forms Christ in this place. And then we go and we show Christ in every place where we go. That's who we are at Spring Creek. The Bible that we go by, right, is the greatest text and has the greatest storyteller and author of all time in God Himself, right? And the story that God is telling here in Matthew is a story I think that speaks to all of us and who we are as disciples from Jesus Christ. And I think it's important that we listen to the story that God is trying to tell us in 2024. What are you hearing so far in 2024? Have you heard a call to ministry? A call to be in more mission? A call to be in more service? Maybe it's with the youth or children's ministry. Maybe it's with taking it to the streets. Maybe it's coming to church more than one Sunday a month. Right? Not calling anyone out, I'm just saying, right? Where is God calling you to write your story in 2024? What are you hearing? But a better question is, are you even listening? Are you even listening to where God's calling you? Matthew 2 to me is a tremendous, and to thine also, a tremendous Bible story, right? It's preached every year for Epiphany Sunday almost, right? And you've probably heard it before from many different angles and different pastors, right? But there are a few things that we think you should hear in this story is about the Magi visiting Emmanuel. The first thing I think that you should hear is the presence of fear. Did you hear that in that scripture? But the idea that fear spreads, right? And it can be contagious. Think about that, right? Who was afraid in this scripture? Herod. Herod was afraid because there's a new king that's going to threaten his kingdom, right? And fear is contagious and it'll spread. So if you think about if this story was going on in today's world and there was social media, and there was a Herod Informed Citizens page, right? Okay? You know what I mean? Don't you think the Jewish people were looking at all those comments and all those posts on there, and they were living in fear? Because he was an evil, evil tyrant. He would even wipe out his own children of fear that they might take his place, right? So I'm sure that Facebook page had a lot of threads from the Jewish community because they were living in fear, and fear is contagious. It's like a virus, and fear spreads. Right? When you read Matthew 2, verse 3, it says, when King Herod heard this, right, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. There was some uncertainty and some fear going on in this time, right? And the CEB Bible even says troubled. Other translations will say afraid or disturbed. Can you imagine that everyone in Jerusalem would be upset, would be fearful and disturbed and troubled? It's important to know that God comes to us not always when life is perfect, but more often when life is troubled. And if we look at our own lives, I think we can often relate to some of the darkest places in our lives, and we reflect back on that. That's where God showed up the most. At least he did in my life, for sure, right? Family systems will tell you that claims that we, as a group, are emotionally hardwired together. One person's anxiety impacts another person, and eventually the anxiety of one person can get passed on to the entire group. Have we ever experienced this? Have you ever been anxious because your spouse is anxious? Have you ever worried during STAR testing because our kids are anxious? So we've been anxious for our kids, right? It's just as contagious as fear. But over and over in Scripture, we hear what phrase? Do not worry. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. Do not be afraid. So I wonder what it would be like to be a citizen in Jerusalem during this time. With the social media page going crazy, Herod threatening to basically wipe out every child that's under 2 years of age, right, in fear of his kingdom and his power, right? But who wasn't afraid? It's the heart of this passage. The Magi weren't afraid. Magi didn't really know Herod. They were coming from afar. They were traveling a long distance. They were not troubled. They were filled with joy, according to the scriptures, when they saw the star in the sky. How far have we traveled as disciples? How far have we come in our spiritual journey? Have we come boldly, or have we come fearful? Have we come and have we served with some anxiety? I think we all have in different points. But you also need to know that the Magi weren't local, right? They're not really even Christians. We don't know if they're Christians or not, right? They're strange. I mean, the word Magi is it not from the root word of magician? They're astrologers from the East. They're not faithful Jews. They're not kings. And it's really not accurate that We often translate them as kings in Scripture, right? Although we have done it through the Christian tradition many years because of the connection from Matthew 2 to Isaiah 60. And you can tell that that's a Dyna note, because I just learned that, right? The prophet Isaiah says that the kings will come to Jerusalem drawing radiance with countless camels carrying gold and incense. But Isaiah doesn't mention myrrh. Matthew doesn't mention any camels. And only kings in this gospel so far that I've understand are Herod and the infant Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. The Magi are outsiders. The Magi are maybe even outcasts. Maybe the Magi might even be us walking through the door at Spring Creek. Or it might have been us walking through a door of another church when life was troubled and anxiety was high. How far have we traveled? And how far will we travel to see Emmanuel, to experience God with us? But they had a mission. They're like the Blues Brothers. They're on a mission from God, right? They're on a mission from God to honor Christ, right? To honor the new king, which I think is really, really important here in this scripture, right? Because another version says that they pay homage. Another says they actually worship the baby king. And honoring, I think, is also some of the framework of this entire Bible story. It's mentioned at the beginning, it's mentioned at the end, and in the middle. Right? Verses 2, 8, and 11. Honoring the Christ child. How do we today honor the Christ child? How do you honor the Christ child today and every day? Well, I think Miss Rhonda had a great children's sermon, because in that last little gift, she pulled out that mirror and she shined it in all the kids' faces, right? That's how we honor the Christ child today. We give of ourselves over completely to the one and only who is worthy of our devotion, our adoration, and our worship. And if you ask me, I would say we even offer ourselves that we just surrender. Say, here I am, Lord. And then go and let our light shine. The devoutness is a practical piece of faithfulness that we often overlook. Perhaps it's exactly how we define faithfulness, right? In our world, devotion, enjoying the presence of God, right? That's kind of a weird statement, and I was reading that this morning from one of Dinah's notes, but it struck me because I think oftentimes we look at faithfulness as about what we can accomplish and what we can do for God. But then I'm also troubled because we also hear that faith without works is dead. Our accomplishments, we often think, show our own faithfulness. At the end of the day, we feel good when we've served in a mission or in a ministry, or we made it to church, right? Or we did something good for someone else in the world. But I think maybe, just maybe, if we want true peace in our soul, it's not about how we feel at the end of the day. It's about how we made others feel at the end of the day. Have you been in mission and ministry after seeing a child's face radiate, whether you were building beds for day one beds or gotten a letter from a package that was sent across the world to Uganda for days with girls? Or have you been at a Habitat house watching or working and building a Habitat house with a young family and the kids running around the work site, super excited about the house, and go, hey, Mr. Frank, this is going to be my room, right? Mission and ministry should never be about us. It should always be about those that we serve. That, to me, is the definition of faith without works is dead. It's not about what we accomplish. It is about what God accomplishes through us, through our faithfulness to God and to the body of Christ. So in this journey for the Magi to honor the Christ child, right, they worship, they're faithful, they bow down, and they offer gifts, and they offer themselves. And then they go. They go another way because of a dream. They don't go back to Herod. They go a different track. And we never hear about the Magi again in the rest of Scripture. Is the Magi story your story? Have you given of yourself in service? Maybe on a board or a committee? Or maybe you've done a mission opportunity once or twice? And you've checked the box in your life and said, I'm good. Thank you, Lord, I'm done. I checked that box. I'm a disciple. Or do we stop in 2024 and do we look for opportunities to go another way? Do we look for opportunities to travel and to serve near and far? To be the light in the darkness? To offer ourselves to God and bring gifts of love, hope, peace, and joy to those that we meet? I pray that we are, brothers and sisters. I pray that we often travel the hard way, the long way, the faithful way of Christ. Because Christ will guide us. The Holy Spirit will empower us. And the world will know Jesus through us. So if these strangers were willing to take a journey, a spiritual journey, across the desert to see a child in a manger and to call him king, I wonder what we're willing to do in our church and in our community. Are we ready to be courageous in the face of fear and anxiety? To take on the Herods of the world and in our communities? I think that we are. I think that we should be. And I'm excited where 2024 is going to lead this congregation and this body of Christ. Maybe it's towards Project Transformation, where we make a difference in the lives of some children, an opportunity to give of ourselves for an hour a week. Maybe it's stepping up to serve communion or join a Bible study or help out Susan or Rhonda with the youth and children's ministry. Or maybe if we're listening to God this year and we hear an opportunity of God's voice speak to us for a mission opportunity, that we take that opportunity and we serve in that mission. We step out of the box. We charge into the darkness. And we let our light shine. Goodness, devotion, faithfulness, curiosity. These are all good things. These are all things that will call us into deeper forms of ministry and deeper relationships with each other. And I think they're the reason that we are the church. Because we don't go into that darkness alone. Look across the aisles, look behind you, look in front of you. You will not charge in that darkness alone. You will not take that journey by yourself. Many of you are wise, and I'll join you on that journey, but I'm not going to be wise, but I'll be faithful. So may we go, and may we see, and may we serve. May we let the light of Christ shine. May Emmanuel be brought forth this year, because God is with us. God is always, always with us. Amen. Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the gift of Emmanuel. We give you thanks for the opportunity to be in a congregation, to be a member of the body of Christ that loves and serves and gives of themselves for you and for others. Open us up, O Lord, that you might pour in the Holy Spirit, that we might be bold in 2024, that we might be fearless like the Magi, and we might be willing to travel many lengths, great lengths, any lengths, to shine that light for the world to see Jesus. To mold us, shape us, and equip us so the world would see you in all that we are, in all that we do. And all of God's people said, Amen.